to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight, the title of our Bible study is Comfort in Affliction, and we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So let me ask you a question. How many have had some good things happen this last week?
Yes.
How many have had some frustrating things happen this last week?
Yes.
How many have faced some real struggles? And you're willing to say that publicly. Maybe several. I think of Dorothy and her husband, Tim, and all they're going through. About a couple hours ago, somebody sent me a text, and it included a link to a news clip that is about 2 weeks old, and I hadn't seen it all week long, because you probably won't see it in any of the major news outlets, at least not in the most prominent position. But 13 days ago, on February 13th, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, 7 Christians were rounded up from their homes, taken to a church. I don't know if it was their church, but a church, and they were tied up and beheaded with machetes and knives by an ISIS terrorist group. Anybody hear about that? A couple of you did? Yeah. That kind of stuff, unfortunately, doesn't make the news. But when you think about something like that, that kind of puts some things in perspective, doesn't it? You know? Well, it's happening all over the world, many places in Africa. We many times in the fall spend some time talking about the persecuted church, and there's great organizations that keep up with that. And if you're interested in knowing all that kind of stuff, I can give you some information about that. But, you know, we think of people around the world today. Some Christians live in such a bubble that they think that kind of stuff doesn't happen now. Maybe it did happen through history, and we see some of that stuff in the Bible, but it does. In fact, they say there are more people who are persecuted and martyred for their faith today than all throughout history. Okay? And again, that kind of puts our struggles and difficulties in perspective, but does that mean that our struggles and difficulties aren't important? No. Does it mean they're not important to God? Because, I mean, do you think God ever gets frustrated when we say, God, I'm having such a rough day, and this is happening and that's happening. And he's like, listen, just look at the people on the other side of the world, okay? I don't have time for you. Do you think that's kind of God's attitude? No. God loves each of his children the same. And we got lots of questions about God. Why do you let certain of your children go through certain things and others less or more or whatever? And sometimes we're feeling we're on the more side because we've got this big deal going on, and we see our neighbor down the row at church or whatever, and it seems like everything's going well. It's like, why me, Lord? And all that kind of stuff. But God cares. And as far as those questions is, you know, why, Lord, do you let me go through this and somebody else seems to have it better? Or why, Lord, is my life so blessed and these other people are just suffering? We just have to trust that God has his plans and purposes for each and every person. You know, I was just doing some praying earlier today before I got this link. And one of the things God put on my heart and just was overwhelming to me is, God, you have blessed me so much. You know, I've had my struggles, I've had my frustrations, I've had the things that have really upset me or whatever, but God, you have blessed me so much. Why? You know, I didn't really expect a verbal answer or anything like that, but it's like, God, why did you allow me to be born into and go through the situation I went through in my life that was more overwhelmingly positive than it was negative? In just about every area of life, family, needs met, all that kind of stuff. God knows. But the point I want to make here is that we do need to keep in mind the people around the world who are suffering so much because of their faith. We need to keep in mind the people around us that are suffering with some of the needs that we talked about earlier for prayer, and lift them up and not be just self-focused, but also to realize that that does not negate the stuff that we go through, the trials, the difficulties. God cares about us too. And we can come to him with those things. Okay? The thing is that we do need to keep in mind that the Bible and Jesus makes it clear that we will have to deal with suffering. There's one verse that we've looked at before, but it almost sounds a little strange. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "Let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." And we've done a whole lesson on that before, that when we're going through suffering, we just got to keep trusting God and keep doing what the right thing is. That's not the lesson tonight. But that phrase seems so odd. Those who suffer according to God's will. You know, there are some teachers who say it's never God's will for God's people to suffer. And if you do, you just got to pray. And if you got enough faith and there's no sin in your life, God's going to deliver you immediately and all this kind of stuff. And he's going to give you a Cadillac. Anyway, we won't go there. Okay. But what does he mean when he says those who suffer according to God's will? Any thoughts about what that might be trying to communicate? Suffering according to God's will. I'll try to summarize that and hope I'll get the gist of it. Let me know if I get it wrong. But that sometimes for us to experience God's will for us, it requires suffering. Okay? Now, and that in no way says that God is the one that's deliberately causing it, although he certainly could. You know, as we often say that, you know, God necessarily doesn't cause evil, but he allows it because we're people of free will, but he can use it for our good. And there are some things that we will only learn if we go through difficult times. Just like if we want to get really physically strong, we've got to put ourselves through some physical pain of exercise and all that kind of stuff. Lynn, you had your hand up.
Well, I was just thinking that God is
good. Okay. Yeah, that builds on what Carlton says and even takes it a step farther. You know, that God uses it in our lives for good, which is what Carlton says, but he also uses it to test us. You know, you think of tests. When you were in school, a test was persecution, right? I mean, it was suffering. It's like, we don't want to be tested. But it wasn't the teacher's purpose to persecute or, well, at least most of the teachers anyway. I don't know how your teachers were. But it was to prove to you and to others what you could do and to challenge and all that kind of stuff. And so God will do that to us. But then there's another step to that too, that God's will in other people's lives is often done through our suffering. And that's part of what we're going to take a look at tonight. Anthony, what were you going to say? That's true. When we go through difficulties, okay, the difficulties we go through get our focus back on God and it helps us to appreciate all he's done and to cling to him in faith. Okay. All these answers are good. And I'll add one more to it as far as suffering according to God's will. I think the other aspect to this is that if we're going to do God's will, we will experience suffering. Because we'll have the enemy against us. We'll have other people in the world against us who are anti-God, anti-God's truth, and all that kind of stuff. Okay. Yes. Yeah, Job's a great example of that. But we can be too. And that's part of what we're going to talk about tonight. That as we respond to what we go through in a positive way, it can bless, work powerfully in other people's lives to encourage, strengthen them, and to be a testimony of God's goodness. Okay? You know, we finished our last Bible study series on the life of Daniel, and I told you I was praying about where to go, and last week I said, well, I don't have a real clear direction on a new series, so we talked about victory through trials. And then God kind of laid another one on my heart again for tonight about going through difficulties. You know, as I said, it's called comfort and affliction. And so we kind of got this unofficial series going on because last week we talked about victory and trials. But then next week, Chris Betcher is going to be sharing. Most of you know Chris. He has been going through a lot. I mean, over the last several years, he shared his testimony, him and Lisa both, about 6 months ago or so, but been going through a lot with this surgery he had, I think about 4 months ago, and everything else has happened in between, and God has been laying some stuff on his heart about suffering and what God is using it in his life to do. That's not just for him, but for all of us as believers. So we're looking forward to having him share next week. So tonight we're talking about comfort in affliction. When we're going through affliction, what kind of comfort do we want? Don't say Southern comfort. What'd you say? Peace? Yeah, peace. I think most of us say the comfort we want is for it to be gone, right? I mean, that's the best kind, right? Yep. But peace, what else, what other kind of comfort might we crave or desire or we would like to have when we're going through difficulty? Someone who can understand what we're going through and encourage us. Someone who can give us hope. So to add to that, to know we're not alone. You know, we're not alone. Of course, sometimes people seem to relish, I'm the only person that suffers this bad. And they find other people do. It's like, oh, okay, well, I thought I was the worst one. You know? Yeah, those are the kind of things that we want, right? Well, the Bible says that God brings us comfort, but he also brings us comfort from other places. And Lynn just alluded to that. And that's what we're going to take a look at today. In our passage tonight, we see that suffering or affliction is mentioned seven times And comfort is mentioned 10 times. And so in this short passage, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 11, we're going to see some truths about our suffering and God's comfort that can encourage us. Okay, so let's look at 1 Corinthians 1, 3 to 11. We'll read the whole thing through and then we'll take it kind of section by section. This is the very beginning, obviously, of Paul's second letter. Actually, it's his third letter. There's another letter in between that we don't have. He refers to it, but we don't have it. But it's the second one in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. So, Paul was no stranger to suffering. He suffered from people who weren't believers. He, both his own people, the Jews, who had not accepted Christ as Savior, and the Gentiles. He suffered from believers, or at least people who claimed to be believers, who were jealous of him, tried to cause him problems. He suffered by attacks by the enemy, Satan. Even nature seemed to be against him at times. He actually was kind of an expert in suffering. The two passages I had there we're not going to read. You can look at them later. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 10 is the passage we looked at last week, where it talked about, you know, pressed down but not destroyed, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then chapter 11, verses 24 to 28, Paul has this list of how many times he had been put in prison and how many times he had been stoned and shipwrecked and all these things and all the people that persecuted and caused him trouble. But in this particular passage, in verses 8 and 9, he talks specifically about this affliction he experienced that so utterly burdened him that it was beyond his strength. He says, I despaired of life itself. In other words, he felt like he was going to die, and that it was beyond what he could handle. And maybe you've been in situations like that. I hope you're not tonight, but if you are, there is hope. Okay, whether you're talking about outward circumstances or inward pressures and stuff, and a lot of times those two things go together, and it can bring emotional suffering and sometimes even discouragement and depression. But it's interesting that as Paul's talking about suffering, how does he start this? He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he talks about all his suffering. It's sort of like he's saying, praise the Lord, I'm suffering. How can he say that? I mean, why would he say, praise the Lord, I'm suffering? I mean, what's kind of behind that idea? What'd you say?
At least I'm not dead.
At least I'm not dead. Well, I would imagine there's probably been some times he's probably thinking, I wish I was dead. I'm ready to go be with Jesus. But you're right. Okay, it could be worse. He was applying his teachings and everything, give thanks. And I think it was just an aspect of what we already talked about, because he knew that there would be good things that would come out of it.
That's right.
Okay? We can thank God in suffering because this is what Jesus promised. You know, unless we're suffering because we've been stupid, you know, done something stupid, or because we're involved in sin and brought the consequences on ourselves, we're suffering as we're serving Jesus. We'll be rewarded for it someday, and it will have good results in our lives. On your note sheet, I have this phrase, God can use suffering to bring about good in our life. And that's what we're going to take a look at here, okay? The first one, and this was mentioned already, suffering draws us closer to God. Suffering draws us closer to God. That's really what he was talking about, or at least one of the ideas he was talking about in verses 3 to 4. When we're suffering, if we turn to God, God comforts us. He strengthens us. He encourages us. You know, we're talking a lot about suffering, but the focus of this passage is not suffering. What's the focus of this passage?
Praise,
God's comfort, what God does when we're suffering. There's a lot of suffering mentioned, but a whole lot more of God's comfort. God is there. God's working. God's doing good things. He calls God the Father of mercies. Another word would be compassion, and the God of all comfort. I like that he says he's the God of all comfort. So as we face all afflictions, you know, so it's all on both sides. Okay. The word for comfort there is the same root word as the word for comforter. You know, Jesus told his disciples in the upper room he was going to send another comforter. I know it's a corny joke, but he's not talking about a bedspread. All right. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the one who's going to come. That word for comforter means encourager. It literally means one called alongside to help. In secular usage, that same Greek word would be used for a lawyer who came to help you with things you couldn't do yourself, and to try to help you get out of trouble, to deal with issues and that kind of stuff. And so it means encouragement, but not just help in the sense of, well, I can help you with that problem, but somebody who not only wants to help you, but they do it with compassion and concern. Okay? And that's what God does for us. Now, that does assume that we have a relationship with God. It says, if God is our Father. I often say, God is not everybody's father. He's everybody's creator. He's the father of those who have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Okay? And if Jesus is Lord, he says here, our Lord Jesus Christ, if we are Christians, then we have this hope, we have this promise, we have this relationship with God. And so Paul's secret of victory is to get his attention off of himself and his suffering and on to God. And so, you know, this point, suffering draws us closer to God. It allows us to know God in ways that we otherwise would not know him, just like Anthony said earlier, just like some of the comments that Carlton was saying, okay? As we go through suffering and we turn to God, we experience a greater experience of his mercy and his compassion and his comfort. Have you ever had one of those situations just like, man, it just seemed like life was overwhelming. Situations were coming against you. Maybe you had a big need and you turned to God. And even in the face of the fact that nothing's changed, God just let you know he was there, you know, and he encouraged you. Okay. And he does that in a lot of different ways. What are some of the ways that God does that? Lisa? He allows you to sleep. And that's serious. I mean, if you're laying awake because you're concerned about things, the fact that you can sleep is a blessing from God. How else does God let us know that? In the midst of difficulty, how does God communicate his comfort, encouragement, and strength? Lynn?
He refreshes our thoughts with his word.
Through his word.
The word of comfort.
Yes, through his word. How else?
You can get a unique sense of praise.
A unique sense of peace that leads to worship, that leads to praise. It sounds sort of like that peace that passes all understanding, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What'd you say? Remembering past times when God got you through other things, which can also lead to rejoicing. Is that what you're going to say? Okay. All right. Yes, Bob. He sends people. And that's really where he's getting ready to go with this. Of course, we already read it, is that God does it through his people. All right. And his people can use his word. His people can use their past things they've been through. And that's the thing, we're going to get to it, but that's the thing I want us to really focus on tonight. When we're in need, thank God we can go to God. And God wants to comfort. He wants to strengthen. He wants to encourage us through all these things. But I want us to think beyond that, to how does God want to use us and what we've been through in other people's lives. Okay? All right. So the deeper our suffering, the more comfort that's available from God. And it's an opportunity to draw closer to him and to turn to him, not away from him. And that's the key. We need to turn to God, not away from him. Okay. The second thing is suffering helps us to help others. Suffering helps us to help others. That was the verses 4-7 where it talks about God comforts us so we can turn around and comfort other people who are suffering. Maybe they're not suffering exactly like we suffered. God can use us that way. But he's talking specifically about when people are suffering the same way we've suffered. We know what they're going through. Okay? You know, I can remember until very vividly all the things that I did to prepare for ministry. You know, when God first called me to the ministry and I went off to Bible college, 4 years of Bible college, 3 years of seminary eventually, and all the studying and all that kind of stuff. And all that is tremendously helpful, part of God's will, part of God's plan. And that's true for all of us, even though you may not go to Bible college, but your interaction with God's word, everything that you learn, being at church, being part of groups, being part of ministries, all that is significantly important. Okay? But when you've been through it, it adds a whole nother layer. I want to give you an example of that, but let me first of all say that God can use anybody to minister to anybody. You can have somebody that led the cleanest, most perfect, not perfect, but in the eyes of the world, life, and they can minister to a drug addict, they can minister to a prostitute, they can minister to whatever. But you get somebody that's been through it, it's a lot easier for God to use them. And I remember when I was a pastor in Memphis, which was before we came here, and a lady in our church, very diligent lady in our church, and she called me up. She says, "Pastor, can you come over? My son Sydney's here. He's a grown man. He's been on the drugs again. He's been on drugs for a long time. And he's ready to talk to somebody." And so I went and talked to him, and he was broken, and he'd been addicted to drugs most of his life since he was a teenager and stuff like that. And I was talking about the Lord. He was receptive and stuff. But one of the things he says, you just don't know what I've been through. You've never experienced that. And I said, You're right. And I talked about how Jesus can make a difference. I said, but you know what? I've got a friend. Would you be willing to talk to a friend of mine? He says, yeah. And so I called the guy down at the Teen Challenge Center, who was in his, I think, 60s at that time, maybe close to 70. And he had grown up and spent most of his life in drugs in California. And Jesus saved him. And he got involved with Teen Challenge. And now he was the director of Teen Challenge. And his name was Larry. And Larry came out and he talked to him. And Sydney and Larry got connected. And Sydney got involved in the Teen Challenge program, got free. I have no idea what he's doing now because that was a long time ago. But just a great example. God can use anybody to minister to anybody. So don't ever feel like, well, I can't minister to a certain group of people. God can use you. But he can really use people that have been through it. Now, that's not an excuse or a reason to go out and get involved in all kinds of stuff. Well, I think I'm going to go out and have me a good time. Then I can minister to other people that have been through it. You know, that kind of stuff. But my wife on Sunday, if you heard her sermon, if you were here or watched it online or whatever, she was sharing a little bit about that, about how some of the things that she went through did not like, did not understand, but now God is using that to help her to minister to other people that are going through the same things. Okay? But this is, like I said, doesn't mean that we should go out and get involved in a bunch of stuff we shouldn't, just so we have the experience. And it doesn't mean that we should try to seek out difficult situations. I mean, should we seek out persecution? Should we seek out problems so we can better relate? No. I think we're going to experience enough without seeking it out that God can use it. Should that mean that does that mean that we shouldn't pray for healing or deliverance because the more we go through, God can use? No. God tells us to pray for that. But God will use what we do go through. On your note sheet, I have this line: God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. I'm glad when God comforts us, it makes us more comfortable, but his main purpose isn't just to make us comfortable, it's to make us comforters. So we can be like him, be used by him. We can be vessels through which mercies and comfort of God flows to other people. And this is one of the reasons why testimonies are so important, why we take testimonies on Wednesday night. You know why? I know the ladies share testimonies on Tuesday morning when they meet, and the men share testimonies on Thursday mornings when they meet. That's one of the first things the men do many times is open up in prayer and say, "Does anybody got a testimony?" You know, and sometimes we feel like, well, God did something, but it really wasn't that big a deal. You don't know who might need to hear that, even though it wasn't as big a deal as maybe healing from cancer or something. Maybe there's somebody else who would hear that is going through something similar, and it's really weighing them down. And just that little simple thing that you share can make a big difference. Okay? And this is also why it's so important for us to be in close relationship with other believers, because we are here for each other. To encourage one another, to support one another, to pray for one another, sometimes to prod one another in a positive way, you know? The third point on here, suffering causes us to rely on God. That was also brought out earlier. It causes us to rely on God. We see that when Paul gets to that part in verses 8 to 10, when he starts talking about the affliction they went through in Asia, and he says, we were so burden beyond our strength. We thought we were going to die, basically, to paraphrase it. But that taught us a lesson. It taught us not to rely on ourselves, but to rely on God. And because of that, we saw that he delivered us. We know that he's delivering us now, and we know he's going to deliver us in the future. Whatever that looks like, he's going to do it. And he mentions specifically, he says, in verse, let me see here, the last part of verse 9, to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Now, he could have just said, but to rely on God. But he adds the who raises the dead to kind of point out God can do anything. And even if you die, God can reverse that if he chooses to. You know, that God has all powerful. And you know what? Even if our suffering leads to death, we'll get to be with God. You know, earlier when I asked that one question and Amanda said, you know, what is one thing we can get out of suffering? He's like, well, at least we're not dead yet. But, you know, maybe times we may feel like, I wish I was dead. I mean, not that we want to commit suicide or anything like that, but it's like, it would just be easier if I just go be with Jesus. Okay? But the thing is that just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to Nebuchadnezzar, you know, when he was going to throw them in the fiery furnace, that they didn't bow and they said, you know what? Our God can deliver us. He will deliver us. But even if he doesn't do it the way we want or we think, he still is. You know, we'll get to be with him. You know, I think I mentioned this on a Wednesday night. I'm not sure, but I couldn't help but one can't help but wonder, you know, when Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead, if Lazarus was like, hey, I'd rather just stay where I was, you know, not to make fun, but I'm just saying to be in the presence of the Lord. Okay. I heard this quote a long time ago. I like this. Abraham Lincoln is quoted as saying, I have often been driven to my knees in prayer because I had nowhere else to go. In other words, what we face can draw us even closer to God. Here's another quote from the Life Application Bible Commentary. It says, if suffering in your life produces nothing more than a fervent dependence on God and a renewed prayer life, then in God's eyes, the suffering may have been well worth the pain. So, anyway. All right, the fourth one here. Suffering draws God's people together. Suffering draws God's people together. The last two verses we read where Paul says he's delivered us, he will deliver us, we set our hope to deliver him again, but you also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. In other words, Paul says, I know I'm going to suffer some more, I know God's going to deliver me, but you know what really helps me is your prayers, because we're all in this together. And as you pray, God works in and through me, and then all kinds of people give thanks to God because we're all in this together. So suffering draws God's people together. In this case, Paul's talking about his suffering, the people's response and encouragement through it. But, you know, when people share suffering, okay, that creates a special bond. Why does that do that? Why is it that when we share suffering with someone else, it creates a special bond? Besides just misery loves company. Any thoughts? Mm-hmm.
But someone cares.
To demonstrate that someone cares. Yeah. Lee, communicating trust. Yes, yes. Now, I think that's why we have that exhortation. Again, two scriptures I have down we won't read, go to and read, but Romans 12:15 and 1 Corinthians 12:26 both say pretty much the same thing. It says, you know what? We suffer together, we rejoice together, we mourn together. You know, we do these things together. And the key is prayer for one another. That's why Paul says, I need you to pray for me. And if you're familiar with Paul's writings, he often asks for prayer. But he also gives testimony about how your prayers have made a difference. Okay? And our prayers really do make a difference. Okay? And that's why prayer is such an important part of our interaction. That's why, again, when we meet together like tonight, we took time for prayer. When the men and women meet together, they take time for prayer. You know, we have a prayer chain. We have prayer during services. Prayer is very important. As I like to encourage you is to pray for others. And when somebody asks you to pray, especially if you say you will, make sure you do. And I share with you what I do is I say, let's pray right now. And in that way, I've kept my word. And often as part of that prayer, I'll say, and God, remind me later to pray for them. And if it's really something serious, I'll actually write it down and put a reminder so that I definitely won't forget to pray some more later. Okay. And then number five, we're not going to dig deeply into it. Chris is going to talk about this quite a bit next week. But suffering helps us mature in our faith. Now, that's not in this passage so much. James talks about that a lot. And again, Chris is going to talk about that next week. But suffering helps us mature. Okay? Just like physical exercise that can be painful, stressful, helps us get stronger. All right? And that old saying, no pain, no gain. You know? All right. So nobody likes to suffer. At least most people don't. And sometimes we really struggle with understanding how a loving God can allow it. But, you know, one thing we can cling to is that God hates suffering, too. That was never God's plan. And God has a plan to relieve all suffering and to eliminate this world of all suffering and everything that causes it. In fact, he used the suffering of Jesus to forgive us of our sins. And everything Jesus went through to purchase the victory that we have in this life and the victory that we one day will have in his presence. And as we just said, he uses suffering to draw us closer to him and to one another. So, you know, we don't seek suffering, but yet it's something we should accept as part of life and allow God to use it in our lives. Yes, Carlton. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's a good point. You know, all that Paul went through, not just as a preacher of the gospel, but because of the way he started out, dead in sin. And he writes about being dead in sin and the grace of God that brought him out of that, that gave him great compassion for people that are dead in sin and should do the same thing for us too. Now, this isn't the point of the message, but something else that we need to cling to is that our suffering doesn't even begin to compare to all the good that God has in store for us. Paul writes a lot about that too. I just got one of the verses here, Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You know, I've said this many times, but I think it can happen in this life, but especially as we get into eternity, we will look back at our life and we'll see some of the times of most intense suffering and difficulty as being some of the most productive or leading to the most productive and positive things about our lives because we were taken through that and because we trusted in God. The last things on your note sheet are this. Suffering can be a great opportunity. Don't waste it. Suffering can be a great opportunity. Don't waste it. This is what I was saying earlier about there's a lot of truth in here that brings us comfort and encouragement when we're going through difficulty. But let's get beyond that. Let's get to the point of, man, I'm going through a tough time, or I went through a tough time. Now, God, how can you use that? Not just in my life, but in somebody else's life. Okay? So three main thoughts to leave with you. Number one, if you're suffering, God wants to comfort, strengthen, and encourage you. And that comes down to right here, right now. Whatever you're facing, maybe you shared a prayer request tonight. Maybe you have a prayer request you didn't feel free to share. Maybe you're going through some stuff. God knows, God sees, God cares, and God wants to bring good out of it. May not be the good that you want, but the good that's best for you if we cooperate with him. Okay? Yes, Anthony. That's right. As we reflect on what he's done before, it gives us that confidence, that hope, that faith that he can and will do what is best for us again. That's right. Number two, God wants to use you and your sufferings to minister to others. Again, we get so focused on our sufferings and God, what can you do for me? And that's not a bad thing, necessarily. And God, I need you to do something for me. And God invites us to come to him with that, but to take that step beyond that he wants to use our sufferings to minister to others. And then one thing beyond that, God wants to use us together to minister to those who are suffering, not just individuals, but us together to minister to those who are suffering. Okay? All right. I don't know if you ever felt like this, saying, I'm at the end of my rope. That's a good place to be if it causes you to trust in God. They say, if you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. And pray to God. Pray to God. Amen. Any final thoughts or comments before we close in prayer? We finished just a little bit early tonight, which hardly ever happens. All right. Father, thank you for this time that we've had to look at your word. And God, nobody likes suffering. We don't like suffering, but we thank you, Lord, that you turn it into gold. And that actually is a biblical picture, Lord. As we respond by turning to you and cooperating with your spirit, Lord, you use that to mold us and shape us to become more like you and to purify our character and to draw us closer to you and to lift us up and encourage us. And it turns into gold. It builds our faith. And Father, I pray that you would help us because it's not easy when we're going through suffering, especially the more difficult that suffering is, the more hopeless it seems to be. It's never hopeless with you, but the more it seems to be, it's not easy. But help us in the midst of that to turn to you, trust in you, believe, Lord God, that you really are at work in our situation. And Lord, we thank you for the comfort you bring through your word, through your spirit, through the peace that passes all understanding, through other people's words of encouragement. But Lord, help us to get beyond that and realize that you will use that then to minister to other people. I pray, dear God, that we would see that as stuff that we store up, resources we have available to us to minister to others in your name. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to have our eyes wide open, Lord God, to people that are around us that are suffering and dealing with difficulty and the opportunity that may present to us to minister in your name, to be that vessel that you use to bring your comfort to that person through us. And God, we thank you for that. God, we pray that as we leave this place, that you would use us in our world, in the people's lives around us. And we give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.